We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with almost 50 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Weekly Podcast, presented each week by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. I'm Wyatt Thompson, alongside Stan Weber. And we're getting you set for Kansas State football this weekend on the road at Oklahoma. We'll also talk a little K-State basketball on the program today. The Wildcats were off last week, and for the season, they sit at 3-4 and 1-3 in the Big 12 Conference. And on Saturday, we'll play at number 8 Oklahoma. You can see the game on Fox National Television at 2:30. Our coverage on the K-State Sports Network will begin at 12:30 with the pregame show. Stan, coming off the bye week, you always hope that, A, you get a little bit more healthy, and, B, you get a little bit better. Generally speaking, over the course of time, Bill Snyder has accomplished that. Let's hope that happens again.
Yeah, and you would expect it to happen, Wyatt. I think after coming off a win, there's a little pep in the step, and a lot of people would say, boy, don't you wish you could play another game right away? Sure. You like the momentum, but I don't think you lose the momentum around a Bill Snyder program. Once they click in and start doing things the right way and get confirmation on the field that the system works and this team is coming together, I think you can carry the momentum throughout a bye week. And then the health factor that you talked about, that should be something that should be good for K-State, because even though you're used to the grind, you accept the grind, having a week off at this point in the year, about the midpoint, is usually good, and we know K-State's dinged up in many places. So just a little bit more health, it may not make a difference in one game, but it may make a difference 2 or 3 weeks down the line, because you don't get quite as worn out.
I think we all have been encouraged by the run game over the past 2.5 games or so, and the game against Oklahoma State a couple of weekends ago certainly would augment what we're talking about here. K-State pretty much ran over a pretty decent football team, to be honest.
Yeah, they were able to just dictate in the second half and say, here we come, what can you do about it? And when you can hit your blocks and the whole blocking unit and the offensive line specifically can figure out and coordinate together who they're going to block. It's not so much nowadays, Wyatt, about the physicality. It's not blowing a guy off the ball and knocking him on his back 5 yards down the line. That may have happened 30 years ago. You know, you go watch old Nebraska football tapes. But really now, the defenses are very intense, intricate in what they do. And you got to figure out where they're coming, and getting them blocked is really orchestrating. Like, I got this guy, you got that guy. And if we do it well, we can create a hole. We miss and both go for the same guy, then there's an unblocked player who can easily make the tackle. So I really think they're in sync right now. The offensive line is moving well, working together, coordinating, and that allows you to have intricacy in the running game, which I think is something the Bill Snyder football team, when they're at their best, are doing. And Alex Barnes, obviously, and others, Dalvin Wormack, are doing things well. I thought it was very impressive. OSU's a good team. They've won 10 games or more three straight years, and yet K-State was able to dictate to them and say, you know we're going to run the ball. Can you stop us? And the answer was no in the second half.
Have you been surprised at the defense and what they have done? It just seems like they, too, have grown and gotten better. I would even go as far as to say week in and week out. I think this group, despite injuries in the secondary and in the linebacking corps, continue to get a little bit better each week.
Yeah, I have a lot of confidence in Blake Seiler and what he'll be able to do as a defensive coordinator. There's still a learning curve, Wyatt, when you haven't had to call the plays, and he's fairly young for that role. But I think he's done a very nice job of getting the guys to believe in what they're doing, changing things up slightly. The injuries have been a problem for K-State, slowed them down on the defensive side. But at some point, you get the advantage of having multiple players who have been out on the field. And now you can mix and match a little bit. For instance, Kendall Adams didn't play against Oklahoma State, but Eli Walker is ready to roll. He's been out there enough that when Goolsby took one safety position, he was able to take the other one and get going. So I've believed in that K-State secondary would be better than people may expect, and I think they are starting to live up to that, working through things. The corners have really been good. How about Duke Shelley? Just all year long, Wyatt, making plays, two interceptions against OSU, a big knockdown on third down that was important. All those plays, so important for K-State, but the linebackers have been decimated with injuries. And you're right, they fought and found a way to not be a weakness on the team. And that's really a heck of an accomplishment. Something to really support them on is the fact that they could easily, with the rotation we've had at the linebacker positions, the injuries that have been such a big issue, that it could be a big weakness, and it hasn't. They've been mixing and matching, but coaching them up, Blake Seiler's doing a good job of getting those guys ready and fighting. And now I think we're seeing a little bit of surge of confidence with the front six, or it really used to be front seven, but now it's really the front six, have all started to do their role, have rotation in there to stay a little more fresh and play at a high level. Holding Justin Hill to only 41 yards rushing, the Oklahoma State star running back's been a 1,000 yards rusher every year. This is his third year. He's going to have it three straight, and yet K-State held him to 41 yards. Very impressive. Good job by the guys up front. But I think the secondary is really coming around like I expected them to.
You're listening to the Wildcat Weekly Podcast, presented each week by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. Well, let's give the folks a little bit of a preview here on the opponent, Oklahoma. First of all, they're ranked eighth in the country, as I mentioned. And Stan, right now, they are, I guess I'll use the word scary offensively in what they're doing. Some of their numbers just make you shake your head.
Yeah, scary fast. I mean, it's just outrageous.
Yeah.
And you got a quarterback that is hard to get to if you had to touch him. I mean, if we're touch football, sometimes he runs around and decides, well, I guess I can't get away, so he falls down. It's got to be very frustrating for defensive players. Even when you get him in a bind and sack him for 7 yards, usually he's running around all over the place, making question marks and all kinds of different, you know, patterns out there. And then suddenly he goes, oh, I guess no one's open. I can't get around the corner. I'll just slide down here. You don't even get a chance to tackle it. You know, he'll say, ah, darn it, I got a 5-yard loss. But usually he is so explosive. I see him sit back in the pocket, look and look and move and then stop and then look, and no one's around him. And all of a sudden he turns around and runs for 15 yards. So fast. Pretty amazing what he's done. 12.4 yards per attempt. Each time he goes back to throw the football, they gain a first down or more. It's off the charts good. 25 touchdown passes. And he's a running threat. The receivers are just big plays all over the place, Wyatt. I mean, I figure that they have an average of three significant plays of 40 yards or more every game. So if you play them pretty even down after down, which is hard because they're Oklahoma and they're good and they're the number 8 team in the country, if you were able to make that accomplishment, then you have to say, but wait a second, they've got three explosive plays on average per game. So I would propose to you, Wyatt, I look at it as if they have an extra 150 yards of total offense that you wouldn't expect, even if you played them pretty well. And it's hard to play them very well. They are so explosive. Their guys can go at any moment. The speed factor is incredible. And not to take away anything about a college football playoff team last year with Baker Mayfield and all of that, I'm not saying that this year's Oklahoma team is better than last year's at all. from an explosive standpoint, from the ability to just catch a 5-yard pass and turn it into a 75-yard touchdown, or the quarterback to just turn the corner and look very innocent and all of a sudden he's dancing in the end zone. This team is unbelievable. They are so explosive. Big play potential every down.
It really is interesting in watching them and watching the tape of the TCU game last week. I'm watching and I'm looking at Marquise Brown, and you know who I'm thinking about? Tyreek Hill. That's pretty scary.
That's about as good a compliment as you could give
I would
anybody.
Think, yeah.
And that's why they call him Hollywood Brown.
Yeah.
He has 5 receptions, Wyatt, this year of greater than 50 yards already. And we're kind of like at the halfway point of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really amazing. I think the other thing is, and this probably happens in all big-time major college football, the part of their team that gets overlooked is that offensive line. I think 3 of those guys for sure are probably next-level players. They've got a terrific offensive line, and that's why you see the good balance that they have offensively.
Yeah, because they're able to run the ball. I mean, they don't run it with the guys that you expected going into the season. Rodney Anderson had put on a show. Starting with the Texas game last year and then the K-State game, he really brought himself onto the national scene. Rodney Anderson was not considered a guy who was going to dominate in the running game, but he did to end the season off last year, all the way to that Rose Bowl loss in overtime to Georgia. Here he comes in as a star back, gets over 100 yards in the first game, and then gets injured. So we haven't talked about the running backs at Oklahoma as much because they're doing it by committee somewhat, but if you look at their production, very strong. And that's leaning on the offensive line. When you got all your running backs from first, second, and even third team, well, let's just go one further. They even have, at the beginning of the year, a guy who would be considered fourth team who's in the mix right now. And it really doesn't change up. They continue to gain yardage, a good rushing average, no matter what, 6.4 yards per carry. That's an offensive line that's getting after it in the running game. And we know Oklahoma's lethal in the passing game, and you can't catch – I mean, if 2 guys just sat down on the offensive line on a pass play, I'm not sure the open defenders are still going to touch him. I mean, that's how hard it is to get to Kyler Murray. I don't remember seeing many players. You know who I think about when he's running around in circles and almost impossible to touch? I think about Darren Sproles.
Yeah.
And Barry Sanders. Mm-hmm. Guys who you think are right there. I'm going to grab him, and then you don't even touch him. Who could go sideways, backwards, forwards, all the ways. That's what I think about Wyatt, Kyler Murray. Now, scary when I'm comparing him to those kind of Hall of Fame, NFL Hall of Fame type players, and you're comparing to Tyreek Hill, the most lethal weapon the Chiefs have ever had, and we're talking about a college team that K-State's getting ready to play. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is going to be a challenge.
Yeah. With that said, just a thought about their defense. Is there a crack or two there that maybe K-State can exploit and take advantage of?
Yes, there is. You know, things are in motion right now at Oklahoma with this defense. And there's only 11 players on the field. So acting as if Ruffin McNeil, a new defensive coordinator after Mike Stoops was let go a week and a half ago, they've had 1 game with him as a defensive coordinator. He's a real veteran guy. But to act like he's going to change things dramatically is impossible, because when you go to 4 wide receiver sets, Wyatt, you have to put defenders out there in certain spots, a minimum. And you start working it around, and suddenly they can't give you that much of a different look than they did in the past. So that's not the big issue. But what they are doing, Wyatt, is they are changing the players out. They have a number of guys who were considered backups and helping on the defense who, against TCU, got to go out there first.
Yeah,
were starters. And they move guys around. I haven't counted it up yet, but I would say over half of Oklahoma's positions on the defensive side with Ruffin McNeil as a coordinator were different than Mike Stoops. Guys in different places or new players starting. So it's the same Oklahoma Sooners, but they're giving new guys a chance. Can you get after them? Yeah, they're not the biggest physical team in the world, Wyatt. There's no reason why if K-State, again, figures out who they're supposed to block, that you can't have success in the running game. And that's the formula to win the ball game. The blueprint, the best blueprint you have out there, and I know you've talked about it with Coach Snyder this week, throughout your opportunities to talk to him, is the Army team that went down there and just kept the football. They kept the football and moved the ball slowly downfield, running the ball, and that kept Oklahoma's defense out there and the offense on the sideline. That's a good strategy for K-State. So, yes, if you work well in the offensive game side and everyone gets their blocks, gets the right guy and picks up the blitzes and that type of thing, Wyatt, there's the capability of running the ball with Alex Barnes in the K-State running game, and that's going to be a big, important thing. And fortunately, the Cats have started to look pretty good running the football.
We remind you that our Wildcat Weekly podcast is presented by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices, they always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. And from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. A couple of basketball thoughts before we get back to football and wrap up our Wildcat Weekly podcast. I know you had an opportunity. I did not, but you did, to get to Sprint Center earlier this week for Big 12 Basketball Media Days, where K-State is picked second in the league behind Kansas. K-State actually got a couple of first-place votes. What was your big takeaway from that this week in terms of what K-State could potentially be?
Well, K-State has a great opportunity because Kansas is ranked number one in the country in the preseason poll in the AP, but K-State's number 12. The coaches around the Big 12 had a ton of respect for the Wildcats and the seniors, especially Dean Wade and Barry Brown. There's a respect level that there's no reason why K-State shouldn't be threatening for the conference championship. The point about KU is there are a lot of new players. Now, they may be easily the best team in the country, Wyatt. I don't know, because I can't refer to last year's team and extrapolate toward this team. With Graham and Svee gone, they're counting on some new guys, transfers from Memphis, et cetera. Again, they may be great, but there's got to be some question marks there about the integration, getting used to playing at this level, where K-State really knows what they have a lot of experience in conference play. So I think there's some opportunity there, Wyatt, to threaten even winning a Big 12 championship. Now, normally you just mark Kansas down, but my big takeaway, other than what you asked about for K-State at these meetings, was just the craziness that there's going to be surrounding the Kansas basketball program.
No doubt.
I mean, the best statement I can make is, you know how they always say the duck looks like above the water, that everything's really smooth, but underneath is just paddling away like you can't believe this, the engine is going. You get that dichotomy. That would be the nicest way to say what's going on. I mean, because they're trying. I mean, Bill Self is trying to say, let's get going. We're the number one team in the country. We got some new guys. We're really excited about our team, and let's get to work. That is fine and true and normal, but there's nothing normal about anything else going on, you know, and people aren't talking about that. They're not thinking about that. And Bill Self's face, you know, I don't know if he could pull off the duck. I mean, his face looked pain. Mm-hmm. It was not comfortable. We run into each other. This session's pretty informal, Wyatt. 15 minutes of formalities with the coach sitting up front before everybody, each coach. But other than that, you're constantly just walking by each other, players, coaches. I mean, I can't tell you how many times you walk by or get in a conversation with a coach. The players are sitting right next to each other. It's intimate. It's not like in football, you know, only half the team show up on one day. And there's so many commitments that the players and the coach may be over on one side of the hotel and not even be near the other side. And they kind of rotate through your area, right? Here, everyone seems to just be right in the same area interacting with each other. So it never felt comfortable when Bill Self walked by and said hi to anybody. You know, it was like a pained look on his face because everyone's trying to act normal, like other coaches are like, hi, coach. But you could just feel the craziness in the air. And then when the media got there to actually, they didn't get a chance to ask Bill Self anything because he was able to say, I can't say anything the lawyers won't allow. But the commissioner had to answer the questions for like 20 straight minutes. And I'm telling you, there are no right answers. It's so stressful to have these questions put out there and go, you can't just say, I don't know, but you're trying to say, I don't know, or just can you give me some time to wait? It is a very uncomfortable feeling. So how much, that's the main thing I felt there. There is just a I don't know if it's a black cloud or a cartoon where it just says question mark, question mark, question mark, you know, above your brain. It's an interesting time. How will Kansas fight through that, Wyatt? How, you know, Bill Self said something really smart at a news conference I heard him have, where he said, we tell the players to work through the distractions and stay focused. And that's normal because they're kids, they got college, so many things going on. And you and I know that is a core basic thing about putting together a college team. But he said, we got to finally look in the mirror as coaches and say, we've been telling these guys all this time to do that. Now can we? And that is a great question. There is a lot of distraction around college basketball and especially the Kansas basketball program. So that's who you're competing with. We're not here to talk about KU. It's not that. It's that K-State's competing with KU to win a championship this year, Wyatt. And I just wonder how KU will function. That's why it's a factor, because it's not only when you win a championship, Wyatt, it's not only you just doing everything idealistically, it's also how your competition does. Do they give you the opportunity to make that step forward? It's a combination of both that shows one team on top and the other. So very excited. Everyone's excited about K-State basketball. I've been talking about other schools are so respectful. They know K-State is good. And the question is are they good enough to go all the way to win a championship?
Next week, the Wildcats open their exhibition season at home Friday night against Pittsburgh State. We'll have it for you on the K-State Sports Network starting at 6 o'clock with the pregame show on Friday. To wrap up, back to football, just a quick thought about the league. To me, after that Thursday matchup with Baylor at West Virginia, you have a total of four other games on Saturday. I'm going to be honest, I'm most intrigued by Texas Tech at Iowa State, the early game at 11 a.m., I read a stat this week that really kind of almost took my breath away, and it says Tech's defense has allowed just 20 second-half points through four league games. That kind of puts into perspective maybe a little bit how they have changed as a football team. What are their chances and aims? I think they've got a chance, but I still favor Iowa State. How do you see it?
Well, I do think they have a chance, and both those teams are really playing well right now. And I think that the summarization that I would have about the conference is it's a little bit like the NFL. It's so competitive. Mm-hmm. I don't know how this is going to, you know, it doesn't help you for the college football playoff. But let's put that to the side for a second. You just said on this college football weekend where the Big 12 teams are either going to play on a Thursday or Saturday, that one of the most, if not the most intriguing game is Texas Tech at Iowa State. I propose to you, Wyatt, over the 23 years that the Big 12 Conference has been around, there's never been a week you would have said that until now.
I agree with that, partner. That's perfectly said.
So my statement is, as I look, you know, this week or next week or the next week after, whenever I get tempted to kind of look ahead and look at football schedules, and Wyatt, whenever I do that, I always get excited. I mean, it's easy for me to see intrigue, right?
Yeah.
But I've never gone down the list and said, every game, I go, wow, I really am interested in that one. I really want to see that one. There's not a game. Any combination of these teams mixed up still has intrigue. Now, one of the things is we're really close here in the state of Kansas following KU. There's other, you know, if you live in Texas, you might say, oh, I'm not interested in that KU game. But for me, I'm always monitoring KU. So we add that component to what else is happening. Every game's intriguing. And when you said it, I was the least surprised guy in the world when you said Texas Tech, Iowa State is going to be so intriguing because Iowa State is good, but so is Texas Tech. And who's going to win? I think it's going to be very, very close. Both teams really have the capability of winning, and most of these games should be close in the Big 12. So, Wyatt, it's the first time in 23 years that I think you would say that, and I'm not surprised at all. That's been my reaction. The Big 12 – playing each other, there's not a combination of teams that I'm not excited about. It's every team has a chance to win against every other team, and that has not happened in a long, long time.
It really does make it such an interesting thing. You've got Tech and Iowa State at 11, TCU and Kansas at 2, our ball game in Norman at 2:30 with our network coverage at 12:30, and then Saturday night at 7, Texas is at Oklahoma State, and that will wrap up week 9 of Big 12 play. Well, speaking of wrapping up, that will do it for us this week. Again, we'll talk to you Saturday at 12:30 from Gaylord Family Oklahoma Memorial Stadium in Norman, Oklahoma for Wildcat football against the Sooners. Our weekly Wildcat podcast presented each week by BriggsAuto.com and by Kansas Land Tire. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks for listening, and go Cats!
This has been the official Wildcat podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.